So, devotees, this morning we're reading Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 26, verse, I believe, 10, am I right? 10? Or is it, what verse number? 10? 10. 26. I put it on 25. Brilliant. Okay. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. All right, so Sri Bhagavan Uvacha. Yat tat trigunam avyaktam nityam sad asad atmakam pradhanam prakritim prahur avishesham visheshavat. Sri Bhagavan Uvacha. Yata Trigunam Avyaktam Nityam Sad Asad Atmakam Pradhanam Prakritim Prahur Avishesham Visheshavat. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha. Yata Trigunam Avyaktam Nityam Sada Sada Atmakam Pradhanam Prakritim Prahur Avishesham Visheshavat. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha. Yata Trigunam Avyaktam Nityam Sad Asad Atmakam Pradhanam Prakritim Prahur Avishesham Visheshavat. Sada Sada Atmakam Visheshavat. Letter G.
Sri Bhagavan Vacha.
Shri Bhagavan Vacha. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, Yat, now further, Tat, that, Trigunam, combination of the three modes, Avyaktam, unmanifested, Nityam, eternal, Sat Asat Atmakam, consisting of cause and effect, Pradhanam, the Pradhana, Prakritim Prakriti, Prahu, they call, Avishesham, undifferentiated, Visheshavat, possessing differentiation. Translation, the Supreme Personality of Godhead said, the unmanifested eternal combination of the three modes is the cause of the manifest state and is called Pradhana. It is called Prakriti when in the manifested stage of existence. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The Lord points out material nature in its subtle stage, which is called Pradhan, and he analyzes this Pradhan. The explanation of Pradhan and Prakriti is that Pradhan is the subtle, undifferentiated sum total of all material elements. Although they are undifferentiated, one can understand that the total material elements are contained therein. When the total material elements are manifested by the interaction of the three modes of material nature, the manifestation is called Prakriti. Impersonalists say that Brahman is without variegatedness and without differentiation. One may say that Pradhan is the Brahman stage, but actually the Brahman stage is not Pradhan. Pradhan is distinct from Brahman, because in Brahman there is no existence of the material modes of nature. One may argue that the Mahatattva is also different from Pradhan, because in the Mahatattva there are manifestations. The actual explanation of Pradhan, however, is given here. When the cause and effect are not clearly manifested, avyakta, the reaction of the total elements does not take place. And that stage of material nature is called Pradhan. Pradhan is not the time element, because in the time element, there are actions and reactions, creation and annihilation. Nor is it the jiva, or marginal potency of living entities, or designated conditioned living entities, because the designations of the living entities are not eternal. One adjective used in this connection is nitya, which indicates eternality. Therefore, the condition of material nature immediately previous to its manifestation is called Pradhan. Well, that's, interesting. Sri Bhagavanuvacha, Yatta trigunam avyaktam nityam sadasad atmakam pradhanam prakritim prahur Avishesham Visheshavat, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, said, the unmanifested eternal combination of the three modes is the cause of the manifest state and is called Pradhan. It is called Prakriti when in the manifested stage of existence. Sure. Hare Krishna. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharne Niravishesha Shunyavadi Pastyacha Dejatarne Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shivas Adi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Vanchakalpaturubhyascha kripa sindubhya evacha, patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Hare Krishna. Yes, so Lord Kampila is now really getting into the Sankhya side of things. Sankhya meaning, literally Sankhya means to enumerate. At least that's a meaning which Srila Prabhupada gives to it. Yeah, in Srimad Bhagavatam, in the story of the killing of Agasura, one of the very last parts of Srimad Bhagavatam, of everything which Srila Prabhupada translated and gave purports to. So there, right at the beginning of that story, actually, just right at the very beginning, when the cowherd boys and Krishna and Balaram, or cowherd boys and Krishna, rather, just heading out for their cowherding pastimes and playing pastimes and just their pastimes out there in the fields and forests and on the hills and some mountains even, Govardhan. So there Bhagavatam says that when the cowherd boys and the calves came out, or cows, actually, the cowherd boys and the cows came out of their houses and everything in order to go out herding with Lord Krishna, then there were so many. It's 10th canto, chapter 12, verse 3. Calves, Krishna Vatsaya Asankhyataya. Let me just read the verse. Along with the cowherd boys and their own groups of calves, Krishna came out with an unlimited number of calves assembled. Then all the boys began to sport in the forest in a greatly playful spirit. This is their program. Playing. There are different things we could say about that. Recently we mentioned how Mother Yashoda, of course, when Krishna goes out in the morning with the cowherd boys and calves, or cows, at this point calves, then Mother Yashoda, being left behind, misses Krishna greatly. And so one day, as described in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, one day Mother Yashoda decided, I am going to go out too. I'm going to go out herding the calves or cows also. And Krishna protested a little that, you know, we don't, you've got other duties to do. we herd the cows, the calves. You stay at home and you do things there. You know, we got to come back and have lunch later, or whatever, late lunch, dinner. So we'll just herd the cows, and you know, you're a housewife. You're not really a cowherd. And Mother Yashoda said, I know how to herd the cows. Anyway, I won't go through the whole story, but in the end, Balaram, took over the argument with her why she should not come. And her final attempt to convince them that she should come was that, I will cook lunch for you out there. And Balaram replied, don't worry, we have our lunch boxes. It's like your mother, you know, in school days, we were all at school one time. It's like your mother coming to school to cook your lunch. You know, you just don't do that. It's out of place. So I'll cook your lunch, don't worry. Out there, I can do it. And Balaram said, no, don't worry, we have our lunch boxes. And she again said, well, you know, I'll herd the cows. And Balaram said, Mata, listen, we don't actually herd the cows. They're so attached to Krishna, they just follow him wherever he goes. So there's no need to herd the cows. And what all we do, we just play. And Mata, you are too old to play. And that Mother Yashoda was defeated, and she had to go back. But anyway, Asankyatai, they have so many, Krishna came out with so many calves. Prabhupada says, in this verse, the words Krishna Vatsaya Asankyatai are significant. The word Asankyatai means unlimited. Krishna's calves were unlimited. We may speak of hundreds, thousands, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, millions, billions, trillions, tens of trillions, and so on. But when we go further to speak of numbers impossible for us to count, we're speaking of unlimited numbers. Such unlimited numbers are indicated here by the word Asankyatai. Krishna's unlimited, his potency's unlimited, his cows and calves are unlimited, and his space is unlimited. Anyway, so Lord Kapila is getting into his Sankhya, which in this context, and as Prabhupada described there, means you can count it. You can enumerate it, analyze it, and, you know, into specific divisions, certain numbers of specific divisions, then it's called Sankhya. Then it's called Sankhya. But it also includes, in this context here, it also includes not just counting, but actually analyzing the nature of the different particular units involved. Yes, so that's Sankhya, and that is Lord Kapila's specialty, his special contribution to the whole process of Krishna consciousness, and you could say to Parampara, is that he gave this Sankhya philosophy of philosophical analysis in different ways on the basis of bhakti, on the basis of Krishna consciousness, and not just, as you know, Prabhupada has already mentioned on numerous occasions, Not like the impersonalist Sankhya philosophers who try to go through a similar process, in many ways the same process, but because there's no bhakti, then they miss out the most essential element. Sri Sri Radha Radhanath Sri Giri Govardhan Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Ki Jai. They miss out the most important element, which is Krishna. Even many of them, not all of them, because there's totally materialistic Sankhya philosophy also, but then there's kind of quasi-spiritual Sankhya, which accepts the existence of the soul as one of the elements to be countered and analyzed a little bit and accepted, but they leave out Krishna. And therefore their counting is useless. Their analysis is useless. As we know, Prabhupada said on many occasions that if you have a whole lot of zeros, but you have just one in front of them, then you may have very substantial amount of whatever it is. But you can have as many zeros as you like, and if you don't have at least a one, you can have more than a one, you can have a two, and so on. But at least if you don't have a one, then your whole list of zeros is just that, it's zero. And so all these material qualifications and like the material expertise of these Sankhya people, they can analyze in so many ways, and many times they can do things very cleverly. They can express themselves and analyze very cleverly, and many people will be impressed. But they're just zeros. And if it comes down to, I have more zeros than you, then well, if I think that I am impressive through having more zeros than you, it actually means I'm more of a fool than you. Something like that. Just like I've got this little story here, which I just saw again. I hadn't seen it for a while. It's an interesting little snippet from, would you believe, Albert Einstein and Charlie Chaplin. I'm sure you've heard of Charlie Chaplin, but even though he's before even my time, maybe before, yeah, Charlie Chaplin's before your time too, must be. Well, Charlie Chaplin got a book. I don't know if you heard about that. Charlie Chaplin, in his old age, he was living just outside Geneva, Switzerland, and a devotee was going door to door, and there's this, you know, impressive house by the famous Lake Geneva. He knocked on the door. It was Charlie Chaplin's house, and Charlie Chaplin's elderly wife came and took a book and said she'd give it to Charlie Chaplin, and the devotee came back some other time, and the wife said, yes, he read the book, or, you know, looked at the book. But anyway, listen to this. This is an interesting little story in this regard. That Einstein, somehow or other, there was some arrangement when Einstein visited California. He was asked to come to the premiere of Charlie Chaplin's famous movie, City Lights. You probably never heard of City Lights? You heard of City Lights? Yeah. It's a silent comedy. You know, it's one of those old ones, and it's really famous. So he went to the premiere, Einstein, with Charlie Chaplin. And there were thousands of people to see these two celebrities. And Charlie Chaplin said to Einstein, "The people applaud me because everybody understands me. And they applaud you because no one understands you." And Einstein asked Chaplin, "What does it all mean?" And Chaplin replied, "Nothing." That's quite, you know, that's very instructive, actually. Because, you know, even nowadays, Einstein died. Died many years ago, maybe before I was born, around that time, I think. But he's still famous. And even the current day, some of the current day physicists and people like that, they still talk about his so-called theory of relativity and how, you know, it's apparently they feel it's still relevant, which is unusual in the field of science. Usually theories get replaced. And then that theory gets replaced, and it works like that. But that theory is still taken very seriously in many ways. But what is the value of it? It's simply, as Charlie Chaplin, you know, the comedian, as he said, the value of it is actually nothing. It's actually nothing. Anyway, so I sort of diverged there, but this is interesting. I always find this subject interesting. The process of creation from Pradhan. So Pradhan is, as described here, the the unmanifested eternal combination of the three modes is the cause of the manifest state and is called Pradhan. You know, these things are discussed in different places, a few places in the Bhagavatam, second canto, third canto to some degree. In Brahma Samhita, they're also discussed, and there it's perhaps arguably a little easier to follow, but anyway, the glance of Mahavishnu. Mahavishnu glances over the Pradhan. As Prabhupada says here, that the Pradhan is the subtle, undifferentiated sum total of all material elements. We follow. All the material elements, all the earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, false ego, and various other things, the different senses, sense functions, and including the three modes, they're all in the Pradhan, but as stated, they're subtle and undifferentiated or unmanifest. It means you can't see them. They're just all mixed up together. And we give the example sometimes, even sort of, it's a sort of a play or a, you know, some application of the scientist's idea of a cosmic soup. It's just, you know, it's just, you can't see what's in it. Some soups, when they just cook them down and down and down, you cannot see what was in there. the different particular ingredients, because they all just, they just mixed together and they got merged. So it's, you could say, an unmanifest state in terms of the particular ingredients. Yes, so pradana's like that. Everything's there. Well, not everything, but a lot of things are there, including the three modes, but they're inactive and undifferentiated from each other. But then when Mahavishnu glances and different things travel through the glance and then enter into the pradana, then particularly the living entities, well, a combination of the living entities, each one of which is in something like a cocoon of their karma, and they're unconscious. They're in susupti, deep sleep, or a type of deep sleep. Then when their karma is activated and the three modes are activated by time, which the Kala Shakti, which has come through the glance and now contacted these different things, then the karma of the living entities becomes activated, and then they become functional again, because now they're receiving karmic reactions and they become, you know, like us. Well, we are them, actually. We are them. It has happened to us. Extraordinary and amazing though it may sound. I mean, the process. Yes. So, pradana means the unmanifest material nature, but it includes the modes, but they're inactive. But then they require something higher to make them active, and that is the Kala Shakti. Just like those of you who are following our Bhagavad Gita seminar, we've just been through the chapter 11 we just finished last night, the universal form. And, you know, famously, Arjuna, after seeing the Kala Rupa, the form of time, and the incredible destruction and just bizarre, the horror of the effects of time, Arjuna, in his state of being completely overwhelmed, asks Krishna, "Who are you? And what's your mission?" Yeah. And Krishna replies, "Kalosmi. I'm time. Loka, what is it? Loka kshaya krit pravrida. Time I am, that's who I am. And my mission, I've come to destroy everyone. With the exception of yourselves, the Pandavas, everyone else is going to die. And, you know, Krishna didn't mention it, but you're also going to die sooner or later, but not now. But everybody else is going to die now in the battle. So this time is an incredible thing. Even just the whole material arrangement is incredible. Even just the different material elements are incredible. But time is even more incredible. And it's such a dominating, totally dominating factor in material existence. So, under the influence, particularly of time, but also the Ichha Shakti, the desire of the Lord, all these things which come through the glance of Mahavishnu, then the pradana, this just mixed up state of the material ingredients, Everything begins to separate, and the creation as we know it, it gradually comes from that. Yes. And then it's actually called the Mahatattva, or Lord Kapila actually, uses the term Prakriti. When everything manifests from the Pradhan, due to this whole creative process which is begun by the glance of Mahavishnu, Pradhan is transformed into Mahatattva. With some extra things thrown in also. So this is going on. And this is going on. It's not just going on like one time, as is thought in other religions, that there was just one creation and we're in it now and it's unique like that. But Lord Kapila Prabhupada points out one adjective used in this connection is nitya, which indicates eternality. Therefore, the condition of material nature immediately previous to its manifestation is called pradhan. Pradhan is not the time element, because in the time element, there are actions and reactions, creation and annihilation. Nor is it the jiva, because the jiva is subjected to all these things which occur through time. Because the designations of the living entities are not eternal. Anyway, the discussion will continue tomorrow. Interesting. The manifestation of all the different ingredients which are mixed together in Pradhan, how they all separate from each other and become established in and of themselves, that'll start tomorrow. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.